You are listening to 90.1 FM KPFT Houston. Coming up next is, I don't know, some show that may or may not be interesting.
Listeners should be aware that the following program contains language and audio images which may be found disturbing and may not be suitable for your snotty-nosed little brat who probably cusses like a sailor behind your back anyway. Parental discretion is advised.
Welcome to another edition of Technology Bites here on 90.1 FM KPFT or whatever station it is that you might be listening to in your listening area. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, I'm just updating my Facebook. First of all, welcome to Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Dwight.
And he's...
Unflicted.
Yeah, we're in deep missing geek formation. Groovehouse is under the weather. Barrett had a dinner. He may or may not be here. He said he's going to be here, but he hasn't showed up yet.
He said he was going to bail on the dinner.
And then Pete had a meeting of some kind, and he may or may not be here. All right.
But, so, you know, one riot, three Rangers, I always say. So
we had a very interesting experience right before the show. Our friend Grace Rodriguez came by the radio station around 7 o'clock, about an hour before we went on the air, and she had Google Glass.
Yeah, she's one of the early...
She's one of the
explorers.
Explorers. So apparently Google allowed people to submit applications for projects that they would use Google Glass for, which Google was very clever about, because you not only had to vie for a position to get this device, but you still had to pay a lot of money to get it, and you had to go to one of their locations to pick them up. So she had to go out to California even to get them.
Right.
They won't just ship them to you. Right. So apparently they do a fitting and they train you on them. Very interesting technology.
It's interesting technology, but if you wear glasses?
I will say this is...
like we do?
Well, one of the things I noticed right off the bat was that this is really early concept technology. This would be the kind of thing that if you haven't been exposed to a lot of technology, will blow your mind. But if you've kind of been around tech and you've watched it evolve, you see this is like a 486. You know, it's or a 386.
Right. You could it's cool but crude.
Yes, cool but crude. You can tell it's in its infancy.
Right.
And since Dwight and I both wear glasses, it was difficult to kind of use them and integrate that into, you know, just our ability to see. But once you kind of get a handle on it, it's an interesting experience. I'll be curious to see how Grace does having those.
For those who haven't seen a picture of it, it's kind of like a headband, a titanium, she said, headband that looks like glasses but has no actual glass in it. It has a little arm that comes out and places a screen just a little bit above your right eye. And when to look at it, you actually look up a little bit. And of course,
imagine MC Hammer glasses without the lenses.
Right, exactly.
But they also have a screen so you can turn them into sunglasses.
Yes, yeah, they come with clip-ons, basically.
Yeah, which would be great if you could turn those into prescription. If you could get those clip-ons turned into your prescription, that would be something.
Yes. Yep. And they will eventually do that. They're working with the prescription glasses manufacturers. The thing is, if you already wear glasses, it sounds like you'd have to get, like, a set of new glasses with that attached to it.
Apparently, they're going to make them fit a specific kind of frame.
Right. Right.
So you'd have to have a certain kind of arm that comes over to your ear from your
glasses.
Which
would further increase the cost. Because prescription glasses are not cheap.
No.
So right now...
Well, actually, the lenses are expensive.
Particularly for old people like us, the progressive lenses.
Quadruple focals.
So you do that already. Right now, for the Explorers, they're $1,500, and presumably they'll probably be out sometime next year commercially, and hopefully the cost will be a lot less. But they've already caused a lot of consternation among privacy, those who are concerned about privacy, and you definitely using it, you can see where that might be a real issue.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was interesting because I was playing with the camera on it, and you could just say, take picture. Say, you know, that's the command. And it doesn't, like, when you say take picture, like, I would expect, like, if you set it to your phone, if Siri was in charge of it on your phone, it would bring up the camera app, at which point then you'd have to activate the camera. What this does when you say take a picture is it just takes a picture, like right then and there, which is good because if you want to catch something in the moment, that's right. A good thing. You don't want to have to, like, take a picture. Okay, what do you want to take a picture of? The thing in front of me. Which thing in front of you? It just takes it. But it's kind of disconcerting because you have to... You have to anticipate your subject.
Yeah, it's very, it is a compelling technology, but it will be even more compelling like 2 years from now.
Yeah.
When it's perfected, because it ain't.
No. I compare it to the first iteration of the digital watch. You know, when the first digital watch came out, it was very cool to see. Yeah, but it was very expensive. And then within a couple of years, you could get, you know, you had to pay like $1,000 or $2,000 to get one of the first digital watches. And then within a few years, they were free in a cereal box and mm-hmm. way more capable with right. calendars and everything on
it. Right.
So this technology is going to, I'm sure if it catches on, it will evolve rapidly and be very interesting. I predict a larger screen or something that projects onto a lens in front of your eye.
Or projects onto your retina.
Oof.
Where you don't actually kind of need even a little screen. And there's, you know, wearable computing is, people have been predicting this for a while. Allegedly, Apple is working on some kind of a wristwatch, or may not be. And so, that you know, this is we're in the very earliest days of this. Jay kind of said it was like a 486, and that's correct.
You can tell it's clunky, it's limited. I mean, it's weird to say that it's limited because it's doing so much, but it really it's you can tell that it's got its limits,
right?
And it's kind of clunky the way you have to go through and do things. Although we caught on pretty quick, and we only had an hour to play with them. Not even an hour for Dwight. We had him in the studio for an hour, and once you kind of get a handle on it, but there's a few things you have to know about how to activate it and how the commands work. And we were using it in what was called guest mode because it's tied to Grace's accounts and her phone. So, but she could put it into guest, which is a cool feature. You put it into guest mode so you can let other people try it.
Yeah.
And it was interesting, but you could tell it was just clunky. I mean, I'm not trying to say it that in a bad way. It's just
early technology.
Yeah. It's just weird to see something so high tech and then say it's primitive. You know,
but that is the state we're at. You know, I mean, if you look at something like an iPhone or an HTC One, and it's kind of elegant and slick, and it just works. You know, we're at a stage where we know how to appreciate something that's well designed and is mature. And so, when we see something that has potential, I think, but still isn't quite there yet, we know it.
Well, if it's you know, Grace was talking about that. They don't do certain things, but you can actually jailbreak the glasses and add more features to it. That's why I wish Barrett had been here while they were here, because the idea of writing code for these things to make them do certain things.
One of the apps that has been developed for it is one that lets you take a picture with a wink.
Really?
Yes. And so you just wink to take the picture, which, you know, it's going to look kind of weird on the street.
If somebody's looking at you with a pair of these or this thing on their face already, and then they wink at you, creep factor 11.
Yeah,
I mean, I posted a picture of myself wearing wearing the Google Glass on my Facebook, and I've already been called a hipster douche by someone I like too. So
hipster douches can't afford Google Glass. So. You know, I asked Grace what she was, what the reaction has been, and not enough people really know what it is, I think, yet outside of the tech community and Uber geeks, that they recognize what it is and could comment to her on it. But she has had people like drive by and yell, "Hey, Google Glass!" But for the most part, I think people don't quite understand what it is yet. They will.
But she was saying that she thinks she's the first person in Houston.
She's one of... there's somebody else, I think, that already has theirs as part of this. She is
the first to get it, she thinks.
In Houston.
Okay. In Houston, right.
There's three people in Houston have qualified, but she went and got hers first. Somebody else is trying to talk somebody into funding their trip to go pick them up, but she got hers on her own.
When it first came out, and people had started receiving them, I put out a call on Twitter several times before the Geek Gathering saying, if anybody's got it, come by the Geek Gathering, and I was met with crickets.
Well, hopefully Grace will come out to the Geek Gathering on July 5th, and that's the first Friday, by the way, of the month. And it comes before the first Saturday, even. So it's a double plus good Geek Gathering.
Except it's the day after July the 4th.
It's true. Are you going out of town for that weekend?
I don't know.
Do you think it's a possibility?
Maybe.
Any more so than any other weekend?
Well, it's a holiday weekend. So
that's true.
There's probably more chance, but I don't know that it's a good chance.
Okay. All right. Well, visit us online at geekradio.com if you want to check out more about the radio show here, the Technology Byte show. You can also hang out with us on IRC, irc.cuckoo.com, in Channel Tech Bytes, or you can use the IRC client that we have on our website to participate in that way. Is Pete around, I guess? No? Okay. Then I don't feel bad about continuing to talk. It's been a weird tech week for me. Okay, first of all, I mean, I did buy the new MacBook Air, which I'm very happy that
I did. You went forwards and backwards simultaneously.
I did, because, well, and then this week I decided that first of all, it was my first time to try to use Time Machine to restore my computer, which exposed to me a thing that I had not realized, that my previous MacBook Pro had a memory problem. It had been working more or less fine. It was starting to beach ball a little bit here or there. But when I tried to run the Time Machine back, I was going to get a current backup of it to restore to the new computer, it kept restarting. And so I did some research online, and one of the things that Apple said was that could be a sign that you've got faulty memory. So I downloaded a memory checker, and every time I would go to check my memory with this tester, the computer would reboot. So every time I directly accessed the memory, it would reboot. So
it hurt when it touched
me. It hurts when you touch me there, yes. So I had to get the original memory that I had upgraded from, put that back in, and I ran the backup, and that went fine. And so also, so I did that, and that was kind of cool, and I got all that working. And then I've got this Mac G5 at work, this Power Mac, and it only had 1.5 GB of RAM, so I had to start researching. It's been a long time since I've opened up a computer and had it's got 8 slots. So it's 4 banks of 2.
And you have to put them in pairs?
Yes, but in the...
Across pairs?
Across the two... The two. There's 2 sets of 4 slots. So if you put one in slot 1 of the first set of 4, you have to put it in slot 1 of the other set of 4. But they radiate out. So you have to put 2 on the inside end, 2 on the... And then, and I couldn't figure that out right away. So I went rummaging around. I found a whole bunch of proper memory that were 1 gig sticks. I said, I'm going to take this thing to 8 gig. And I had 4 matched sets and 4 matched sets because one was slightly faster than the other. So I loaded up all the banks and I turned it on. Boop, boop. And nothing. So I had to go and research, and I got the memory to work. And then I was trying to find a copy of OS X Leopard. And that was difficult.
I still think somewhere I have a ISO of that, but
I found an ISO of it, and it didn't work. And then I found another ISO, and that one finally worked. But when I was doing that, I was, realized that I didn't have a dual-layer DVD disc. Blank one.
Blank one.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was like...
Yeah, those things aren't cheap.
No, and they don't... And they're not easy to find. Like, you know, you can go to the drugstore and find CDs and DVDs, but you can't find dual layers.
Yeah, you probably have to go to Office Depot or Office Max or something like that.
I finally found one one of my coworkers had, and I burned one overnight and it didn't work, and then I burned this other one and it worked. So now I've got it. It's 8 gigs of RAM, brand new install, looks great, but I don't know what I'm going to do.
Do you apply all the updates?
I haven't tried that yet. That's the next thing I got to do, because I know there's a patch, a couple of patches. So I got to run the updates on it. But it looks really nice. It's such a nice computer. I just don't have any need for it.
You could start Bitcoin mining.
Yeah. I guess I could, but I probably won't. All right. So we have a weird show tonight with not very many hosts. So we're going to do the best we can to bring you the best technology bites that we're capable of.
We'll be fine.
I know we will. It's also thundering and raining outside.
Hopefully on our lawns.
That would be nice. All right, so 713-526-5738 is the number to call if you want to be on the air. We'd have no info shot and probably no Barrett time, so it's all going to be all your calls tonight, just your calls. And we have no phone screener, so Flicted has to pull phone duty. So we'll see how that works out. 713-526-KPFT if you want to be on the air with Technology Bites. And I'm going to join the IRC right now, see what's going on in there.
Now, the Geek Gathering is indeed July 5th. It may be the day after the 4th of July.
It is the day after the 4th
of July, but we're still going to do it.
Yeah, I'm thinking that just for consistency's sake, we're going to not push it one way or the other. If it was Christmas or Thanksgiving or something like with Thanksgiving, we usually push it. Or if our Christmas falls nearby, we push it. But 4th of July, it's too hot and I'm too tired to push it. So just do it. All the ones that I thought that were not going to turn out very good for whatever reason, because there were other events at the venue, they've all been great. So I'm confident that we'll have the people that don't go out of town for 4th of July weekend will come to the Geek Gathering. We'll have a great time and they'll get to see some Google Glass. 713-526-5738 if you want to be on the air with Technology Bites. We have all of our phone lines are open, and we would love to hear from you. So I'm running my first Windows 8 machine ever, and have
Oh,
to,
you've never used
I've
it?
I've never actually used it, ever.
So how is it, do the touch features line up with that? Are you able, like, to swipe from the edge of the touchpad and bring out the...
Yes.
Good. Yeah, because that's the way to use it, is make sure you use the touch features. Of course, don't touch the screen, because all you do
You're
is smudge your knee.
Yeah, so...
You no. really should get access to
a touch screen
on some kind of touchscreen device.
Well, I'll see if I can recoup some of my financial losses here this last month. I've taken a pretty good hit.
Or, actually, you probably, I would bet you anything that your IT department is testing some.
We have one.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't actually picked it up myself, but what was the event? TechNet or some event recently, selling Microsoft tablets for, like, cheap
right.
to everybody who attended. And right. so one of my coworkers picked one up.
Probably a Surface RT, I bet.
No, it was the full...
Oh, the Pro?
The Pro.
Oh,
they
right.
Actually, you could buy one of each. Mm-hmm. They had them both for sale, the RT and the Pro. And I think he picked up the Pro for, like, $400.
Mm.
And we've got a little tiny Dell. I can't remember the model of it, a little Dell tablet that turns into a notebook or, like, a mini notebook, and it's all right. I like it. I have not been completely captivated by the whole touch screen thing yet. I mean, I do it on the phone because that's all you can do. Mm-hmm. And the iPad did not capture my imagination the way I thought it would. I mean, I like it. I'm glad I have it. It does what it does. And it does it well. But the laptop notebook form factor is it for me. I just really like it. 713-526-5738. Did you get any new technology recently? Did you work on any old technology recently? Call in and tell us about it.
Well, I'm driving some new technology.
Oh, yeah. Tell us about that.
So I'm working on a series of blog posts, and they'll probably end up as stories on cron.com, about at some point I'm going to have to replace my 2001 Ford Mustang. It's running very well. Knock on wood, it's giving me very few problems, and I love it. And fortunately, it gets 14 miles to the gallon, and in days of $3.50 a gallon gasoline, I think its days are numbered. So I've decided, I didn't pay any attention when I bought my Mustang in 2001 to tech, not that there was a lot in cars at the time, but I am paying attention to car tech now. And what I'm doing is a series of blog posts about little cars, inexpensive cars with lots of tech in them. Little cars, big tech. And the first one I'm driving is the Prius C, which is the smaller version of the Prius. You know, my wife has the full-size Prius, a 2012. This is a 2013. And the tech in it, particularly for monitoring what's happening with your gas mileage and with what's going on between the two, there's an electric and a gas engine in it, and they kind of work together, is really phenomenal. And the other tech is pretty cool, too, but what's on the dashboard is really the most interesting. And so I'll be writing about that. I'm also going to try an Audi 500, a Kia Soul, which is what our friend Flicted drives,
budget cars, right?
A Ford Fiesta, right? Low-cost cars, because what's happened is, as tech has gotten less expensive, it's come down into the cheaper cars, so you no longer have to have, you know, an expensive car to have decent technology in it.
In fact, would you say that the makers of these cars are cramming a lot of really great tech into their budget cars to make them more appealing?
Yes, yes, and I think that it's... you know, certainly they add them as packages. It becomes a profit center for them, but it doesn't cost that much more to add these features to it. Almost all cars, even small ones now, for safety reasons, come with hands-free phone Bluetooth connections, and so it's not that hard to go from there to adding it to your stereo and or to your music sound system. And then, you know, adding a navigation system and automatic locks. And, you know, one of the cool features in Houston that the larger Prius has, this one doesn't have it, is you can have the car run the air conditioner while you're away from it. So if it's sitting out in the sun, it will keep the car cool while you're gone.
Kojo wants to know if you're going to test a smart car.
That's what I was going to ask. Do you have a complete list of all the cars that you're going to test for this?
I just gave it.
But it did not include the smart car.
It did not include the smart car.
Did you think about that, or did you make a decision not to look at that one? Or
These are cars that I may actually buy.
You said, did you say a Fiat?
Fiat 500, yeah. Which I understand that on Top Gear, which is, I know Jay likes that show, they mock the Audi 500 mercilessly because they could not get a suitcase in the trunk. It's real small. It's kind of like the Volkswagen Fiat. Bugs of old.
The Fiat 500?
Yeah.
You said Audi.
Yeah, Fiat 500. Yeah,
you did say Audi a couple of times. There's not an Audi 500.
There is not an Audi 500. This is a Fiat.
Your car cred.
I am not a car reviewer. I would say, and I'll say that up front in each one of these. But so far, I took the Prius to Austin over the weekend. I went up with my son, and we went to have lunch at Schultz's beer garden. And it didn't quite get as good gas mileage as my wife's Prius, which kind of bothered me. But it's a hilly run, and the Prius C has a much smaller engine than the normal Prius. The best I've done on the road was about 46 miles to the gallon. And in the city, the best I've done is about 58, although I seem to average around 42 or 43 in the city.
All right. Well, the phones are amazingly quiet.
It's going to say no Barrett and
no Groovehouse, no Peter. 713-526-573. I know people are a little, stressed out because the Miami Heat are driving it to a game 7.
That's why they're not calling. Hey, or they're depressed because of James Gandolfini having died.
Can you talk about the what happened with Xbox?
Oh, yeah.
And what that means?
I have not paid much attention to this. So if do you know, Flicted? Do you know more? You may want to do this because I really haven't been.
No, I'm not really a console gamer. I just have read some articles about it, so I kind of knew what was happening. There was a big reversal today from Microsoft, but I'm not really sure what
it has to do with. With its DRM, and has to do with the Kinect, and apparently the Kinect would know how many people are in the room and could apply that to DRM.
Well, and they were also going to make the device had to be connected all the time, be online.
Did they reverse on that?
In order to play games. Yeah, they reversed on that.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, they reversed and said, it's going to be just like the Xbox 360. You're going to be able to buy discs. You can give the discs to friends. You can share them. You can take them other places. You have to connect the device once to register or whatever. But after that, you can leave it offline forever and play any games, not online, of course, but any offline games, you can play it and take it anywhere. They're also going to get rid of all the region coding they were planning on doing.
Mm-hmm.
It was a pretty big reversal, I thought, but I'm not a console gamer. I don't follow it, so I really don't know what all the implications are. But I think at E3, everybody cheered for Sony and were not excited about Microsoft, and that was a lot of the reason, and so they caved.
Yes. In fact, Sony kind of timed their announcement after Microsoft, and my suspicion is that in doing so, they may even have changed some of their policies, because both of these don't exist yet. You can't actually go and buy either the PS4 or the Xbox One. Both of them at the moment are vapor.
Evidently, there was also Sony put out an ad, and that was probably online only. I don't know if it was on TV.
Oh, the one where how to share games
like,
on the PS3?
This is how you share a game on the PS4. And it had these two people, and one of them was holding a blue, box of a game, of a game. And it said, step one. And that guy goes, here you go. And the other guy goes, thanks. That was it. It was like a 25-second commercial.
It was brilliantly funny, yes. They did a good job with that. Apparently Xbox was kind of the joke of E3.
See, I thought maybe y'all would know more about it. I thought it was interesting, but I didn't understand some of the implications of what it meant, because I saw some people tweeting about, you know, they were going to cancel their Xbox order, and I didn't know if they were joking or if they really meant it. And if they were canceling, I didn't know why. Why would they be canceling it? Because they really wanted that DRM? It seemed like this reversal would be good and would actually open up the console to get more people. That's why I did, so I didn't understand.
Yes, I think my suspicion is there were some that Microsoft had begun to take pre-orders on it. It's possible that they were seeing fewer pre-orders than they had expected and may even have blamed this situation on their DRM. It certainly is. If they have indeed backed off on the you have to be connected every 24 hours, that's excellent. That is very good news. Now, Jay, you have an Xbox 360, right?
I do have an Xbox 360.
And you play it?
Yes.
And do you have an Xbox Live account?
Yes.
How much is that a year?
Oh, I have the free Live, and every once in a while I'll pay the subscription so I can do some online gaming and play with other people, but then I let it revert back to free.
Huh. So how long do you, it's like you pay for a month or something?
I pay for a month if I'm interested in, I haven't really gotten into the whole online aspect of it. I mean, because you go online, play your game, get your ass kicked, taunted by 12-year-olds.
Right.
And so you go, why did I spend money to do this?
Yeah, you can even, they can talk to you. You can talk to each other while you play,
yeah.
Which is...
Well, and the Kinect will let you do that, too. The Kinect will let you talk to that. And yeah, I don't know. I don't get into the online thing. I would love to be able to do where... I mean, you know, if I had more people that I knew that were playing games, it'd be more fun if I was playing with them. And because I do have... I've made some contacts. Some of people I know in social media are on Xbox, so... friended them, but haven't really gotten into it. All right, so what was that one phone call about? Or was it
nothing? I don't know.
They gave up?
Yeah, they hung up before I could answer it.
All right, so I have found this, there's this app. Since we don't have any phone calls, I'll talk about this app that, it's called Creepy. CREE.PY. And you can plug in someone's Twitter name, or you can plug in their Facebook name, or not their Facebook, their Twitter name, or their Flickr ID, and it will give you a map and show you all the places that they've updated from that has geo information in it.
Hmm.
And it's kind of, I mean, it's not working right now on my virtual machine, but it's very interesting. It's very kind of like revealing.
It's a Windows 8 app?
It may not be a Windows. I'm trying to run it on Windows 7. But it's. I think I've run it on Windows 7 before, but it's having some problem talking to the. The Twitter API changed. That's right. That's right. So it may not connect to Twitter anymore. Let me see if it will.
And Twitter's API may not feed it that information anymore, even if it could, because they have changed it.
That's true. Yeah, so anyway, I hadn't run it in a while, but it takes the last 32, or when it worked, it took the last like 3,200 tweets, and that would show you a map. If you've enabled geolocation mm-hmm. on your tweets, it'll show where that person's tweeted from, and you can pull up the tweet.
I'm not sure if I have it saved anywhere here that I can get to it, but I spotted earlier today this very cool application that took tweets that were geolocated and identified the app where it was coming from, the mobile app where it was coming from, and used it to plot across the United States the locations of phones and where they were tweeting from, whether it was Android or iPhone. And you can zoom in on specific cities and down almost to the street level.
Really?
So you can look at Houston and say Android and see all the tweets, the pinpoints is all the tweets that it captured from Android devices, and then switch it over to iPhone, and they pretty much overlay on each other. There's like, it seems to be a few more iPhones in the Montrose. And in fact, and here's how close you can get down. So if you zoom down close enough that you can see street intersections, I can see from my house lots of pinpoints of light where I have tweeted from that location, both with Android and iPhone devices on this application. It was pretty cool.
I see. 713-526-5738. I know everybody's a little upset that Barrett, Groovehouse, and Pete are not here, but it's time to get past that. Give us a call.
And it's not a fundraiser. So.
No, it's not even a fundraiser. It's just a regular old technology. So, I mean, I'm guessing the phones actually work. That would be kind of sad to learn.
Yeah, we did get the one call came in. So.
Well, I think we may not have gotten to it fast enough.
Let's see what happens if I dial.
If you call, it's me.
What's the number, Jay?
713-526-5738. If you want to be on the air or if you want to test our phones.
That's the ultimate pity call, isn't it?
So, let's flick the...
All right, that's me.
It's me.
It's me. Do you have... Are you... It's me on your family? See, Dwight has custom ringtones for all of his family where he recorded them saying, it's me, in their voice. And so every once in a while... And Dwight carries his phone in his shirt pocket. So every once in a while, Dwight's man boob says, it's me!
That's right. It's which is fun during meetings at work.
Yeah? I'm sure that's great fun. 713-526-573. Got one call in the queue. Looks like we had a call coming in. That's good. That's encouraging. And we got plenty of open lines. We've got an hour and a half left in Technology Bites tonight. So, okay, good. There's some more phone calls coming in.
Yay.
And Flicted is, he's able to screen calls, but he's not like, you know, he's no Groovehouse. So
wait a minute.
What? He's not.
Flicted can screen calls with the best of them.
I'm sure he can do a great job, but don't talk his ear off because he has to get those calls into the queue and ready to be on the air with us tonight. Cannot reconnect all network tries. Of course you can't. Understood. 713-526-573. I'm going to just take this one. Have you got that one potted up? Have you got the phone potted up? Okay. He's waving me on. He's going to say, hold on. So whoever called in decided they needed to talk to Flicted for a little while. So we always like when that happens because, you know, when we're sitting here twiddling our thumbs waiting to talk to a caller and you're talking the ear off of the phone screener, it doesn't really work well. I haven't taught the phone screeners how to say, like, look, what's your name? Okay, can you hold? We'll put you on the air in a minute. But so it works out better once we get a few calls in the queue and they get kind of, and we get to talking to someone. And then while we're talking to someone on the air, then the phone screener, cause like right now I've got, okay, cool. I'm going to do this. I'm just going to,
he may not have it potted.
Is it potted? Can we have it? Can we have this call? Is it potted up? Technology Bites, you're on the air.
I heard y'all were talking about the Xbox One and why people weren't wanting it and they were getting rid of their, canceling their orders. And, it's because Xbox is working with a government company called Prism and the,
Really? 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 What? Really? You believe that?
Yeah, I do, because when Prism started up about 3 years ago, Microsoft was the first company to sign up with them. And the Kinect is constantly 24/7 watching everything that you're doing. And sending in this information to Prism and saving it.
Really?
It's the same thing. It's the same with Microsoft computers, with your webcam and with audio on your computer.
How do you know that? How do you know this to be true?
Well, I mean, it's speculation, of course, but...
Aha!
I mean,
the S word, speculation. You're absolutely right. And it's not true.
Well, I mean, you can claim it not to be true, but if
you can claim it to be true, but neither one can be proven. So it's the beauty of a conspiracy theory like this is that, you know, it hinges on the fact that you can't prove it not to be true. And you can't prove it. You can't prove a negative. And you can't prove it to be true. So you think that the government has an interest in watching you sit in front of your TV in your underwear? For what? For what nefarious government purpose? Oh, I guess the government probably...
Government cut him off.
Government cut him off.
Speaking the truth.
He was telling the truth, and the government can't have that. I just, that, you know, the whole NSA monitoring nonsense, whatever. I mean, certainly there are some valid concerns. There's some valid stuff. I mean, there's real stuff happening, and there are valid privacy concerns. But for people to go all the way to your Xbox is spying on your living room. I mean, my wife, I was talking to my wife about, you know, getting the new security system put in from Comcast, where they provide some cameras so you can see inside. Mm-hmm. And she's more concerned, not that the government would use that to spy on you, but that the security company would use that to spy on you, which to me seems like a more valid concern, you know, that they might be monitoring to see who's in your house and what's going on. You have no way of knowing who's looking at those cameras if you have them installed in your house. So I think it's more likely that some perv or some, you know, creep is going to spy on you than the government is going to look in on your house and see whether or not you've got poor taste in furniture or not.
One of the things that happened with the Prism story was the initial version of the story as written by the Washington Post contained an incorrect description of what Prism does. It essentially implied that Prism allowed the government to connect directly into the servers at Microsoft, Apple, Google, and I think 9 other companies, and slurp data. It turns out that was a misinterpretation of a slide from an NSA presentation. What actually is happening is that it essentially, Prism is a drop box for the government for their normal FISA requests for data. So if they want specific data on certain individuals or certain instances, they have routinely been going to these companies with, you know, a FISA letter and saying, it's not a subpoena.
Oh, yeah. Right.
It's essentially what's called a FISA letter. They go and they say, we want this information. And previously, these companies had to, you know, generate and create it and then get it to them. This essentially was little more than a sophisticated secure FTP that allows the government to, they put it in the box. The government goes in the box and gets it. It makes it easier for the government. Yeah, not everyone agreed to do that. Twitter.
Did you see the Slate article?
Yeah, the Dropbox is a lie.
Which actually said, that's the idea, except it's not actually a lockbox because there didn't have to be a court order for them to get the to get information out of it.
All there had to be was these FISA letters, which is not a court order. It's essentially a thing saying, we're with the government, we want this. That whole process is questionable, but it was not an infinite slurp, which is what the original. But that was the story that took off on the web that day.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people have that.
Right. It was reported as being more egregious than it was.
Right.
And there was no real easy way to backpedal from that. The public's imagination caught fire. It's like when you watch somebody tweet that somebody famous is dead who's not actually dead, and it just goes, everybody believes they're dead, and it takes a while before it catches up, then they're not dead.
Right.
You know, you could quickly disseminate information. Unfortunately, you could quickly disseminate misinformation, and that's what happened in that situation. Of course, you know, It's a tough call. I understand the privacy concerns, but my belief is that ultimately, if there's information being collected, what are they going to do with it? And I think that it's more likely that your buying habits would be sold to potential advertisers than it would be used to put you in some kind of, you know, death camp or something like that. My thought is that most people who are worried about being monitored or being looked in on are just not that interesting.
Right. So, you know, when you go to Kroger and you buy something and you give them your Kroger card and you have all these things you bought at the grocery store, Kroger has a complete list
of everything
you've ever bought.
Right.
And, you know, that's...
And they use metadata to get statistics and stuff out of that.
Yeah, and to present you with coupons, because when you check out, they hand you coupons.
Which is,
coupons are based on the data that you've already generated.
Right.
Which is why my Randall's card says that I'm a 60-year-old black woman.
So you get a lot of coupons for the pens, do you?
I just figure, you know, why help the system?
Oh, I see. So you've gamed it. You've kind of plugged it
in. Yeah, when I registered my information, I gave false information.
I gotcha. All right, so who's up next on this? We finally got a batch of people that want to be on the air. So you'll be to just do
it. Yeah, I missed the first one, so it was a conspiracy thing.
It was a conspiracy thing because your Xbox is sending information to Prism via the Kinect or the Xbox One, which has a Kinect built in, I
actually,
guess.
Actually, every selfie you've
that would
taken
be, that would be weird, Prism. Though, because it's gaming information. It's not really...
I mean, if you could communicate over it, if you take a look at what the potential image can be captured with... Now, I guess the X1, is it a full camera? I don't keep up with the...
I don't know. The Kinect data looks pretty cool. When
the Kinect data, but the Kinect data just makes it look like we're all in the Matrix.
Yeah, it's pretty cool looking.
Yeah, I like that. I don't have a problem with the government having that green ray trace version of me, because I look a lot thinner than that, and younger. But does the new Xbox, have a full camera? Is that what the part of the...
It has a much better camera on the Kinect.
Well, I mean, the Kinect doesn't have a camera per se.
The Kinect does have a camera.
Does it?
Yes. Absolutely. If, for example, there are...
Oh, no!
It does. You haven't run across it in a game where it offers to show you your motion.
You didn't realize that you were gaming in the nude?
Yes, the Kinect...
I'm going to have to put on some pants.
There are certain games that it will ask you if you want to see a video of your...
I have seen that, where it does the instant replays. It's a very crude camera. Yes. Right, yeah, you're right.
Right. And so and that also is in the... It's a better camera. Okay. I believe it's a stereo camera in the...
For 3D?
Yes.
Huh.
In the X1.
When you said it's a crude camera, did you mean... that it's low pixel quality, or did you mean that the pictures it's taking are crude pictures?
Well, the only time I saw it in play was when I was doing a Kinect you have to be real active when you're playing it, and so it does these snapshots of you in action, and me in action is crude. All right, so who do we have? Who's up next, or first, or next? Yeah, next. Do you want me to just handle it?
I don't know, go ahead.
All right, let me look and see how long they've been holding. So it looks like Alon, you're on the air with Technology Bites. What can we do for you?
Hello, sir.
Hello.
Yes, you could be discussing those privacy issues for the next week, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely.
I want to throw in a quick gratuitous weather report and then get to my question.
All right.
The 2 inches of rain that drained washed out the... Juneteenth at Miller Theater in the university's area. The heavy rains are now ending there, moving out the 290 corridor and along the north belt over to 59 is where the heavy rain is right now. But I'm safe at home looking at my weather radar on my Mac here in the Heights.
Do we think that this weather was a government conspiracy designed to put a damper on June 19th or Juneteenth celebrations?
Only on the inner city of Houston.
Hmm.
So, anyway,
My lawn appreciates the conspiracy.
Yeah, I would agree with that. However, we are mourning the loss here in the Heights due to big business greed of what is reputed to have been the second oldest tree in Harris County. And if you want to go look at it before they clear it off, it's at...
Did it get knocked down by the storm?
No. This was cut down by clearing the lot for new development. This tree is lying there in pieces on the lot. It's 2.5 blocks west of North Main on West 23rd at Oxford.
I don't know that we can fix that.
Yeah, well, the tree is 5.5 feet thick.
Okay.
A humongous tree.
Well, it sounds like very sad news.
So anyway, getting to my question.
Okay.
I was looking at a website called PC Mall and was just bewildered at how many different versions of Adobe's Creative Suites there are now. I have an old Photoshop 7, and basically I wanted to upgrade my Photoshop, and I'm just bewildered. If you got a Mac OS 10.6 and above, whatever, What's the cheapest thing you can do to get the abilities of Photoshop without all these other bells and whistles and everything? Do we have any graphics experts there?
Well, I mean, I use Photoshop, but I have the entire creative suite that they have available.
Well, one of the things that what's happened with Adobe is that they've moved to a subscription model. So you can no longer buy the latest version of Photoshop outright. You may be able to find older copies of previous versions. But if you just want Photoshop, you can essentially subscribe to it. You can pay either by the year or I think by the month. And overall, it's cheaper than if you regularly buy the newest version when it comes out. So if, say, you buy Photoshop every 2 years, you know, paying for it by the year, by the month, on a subscription basis, it's actually less expensive. You don't actually own the software, but it is less expensive. So that's why it's gotten a little odd, because they have moved to this subscription model. If you don't need the other stuff in the suite, you can still just use Photoshop.
Okay, that's a good explanation. I understand a lot better now. So, next caller, and thanks a lot.
Thanks for your call.
Yeah, that's the same thing that Microsoft has done with its Office 365. It's a subscription model, and you can use it. I believe you pay an annual fee there, and it's cheaper overall than if you upgrade regularly to whatever the newest version of Office is. But if you don't upgrade regularly, if you're the kind of person who keeps the same version for like 5 years, it's more expensive. But it will keep you up with the latest features.
Yeah, there's a lot more photo editing types of software coming out too, and a lot of online photo editing, depending on what level you need to go to. But there are some places where you can even like if you use like Flickr, for example, you get a terabyte of storage and you can edit your photos. You can upload them there and you can edit them online.
Right. And actually, for most people, if they need just rudimentary, if you've got a Mac, Preview actually has pretty decent photo editing.
Hello, hey. Barrett.
Sorry I'm late. I got taunted by 12-year-olds. My Xbox One had to do a Prism update.
Is his mic on?
Justin Bieber died.
Is his mic on? Is his mic on?
Was my mic not on before?
That's okay. You probably
I don't hear you. Is it on now?
Okay, yes.
Yeah, there you are. I hear you.
Bad news all the way over.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I got a new MacBook Air.
That's also bad news, because I do not have one.
And
it's backlit keyboard, of course.
Yes, of course. It continues to shine.
You bought the version
It shines the unforgiving light on your early adoption mistake.
Yeah. At least I'm consistent.
That's true.
And my poor choice of technology. Personal technology.
And you missed the Google Glass that was here earlier.
Really?
Yeah, there are pictures on Facebook and Twitter. Okay. Of us and
well, not of me, at least.
No,
not of you.
I'm still off the radar.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Who brought that by?
Grace Rodriguez brought Google Glass by for us to see. So Dwight and I and Flickton all got to play with it for a little while before the show.
Oh, I missed history.
You did. You kind of missed a historical moment.
But that'll teach you.
That'll teach you to pay attention to your job.
To try and make some money to eat.
Oh, you don't look hungry.
No, I'm not hungry.
All right. Well, we got some calls in the queue, so we're going to continue taking calls here on Technology Bites. We're glad Barrett could join us. He's only... Wow, and then when you get here, the clock switched over to 12. Look at that thing. It's
just very, it started to the left, went to the right, and now it's... Yeah.
And now it's just blinking 12.
I think
there's also a killer mosquito in here that is chowing down on my arm. I'm all... eaten up.
All right. Well, let's go and take another call. We're going to go to Daryl. You're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hello. How y'all doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm okay. Yeah, I've got a question about internet radios, the actual devices. Are they still making those? And if so, are there any good ones out there?
Well, I mean, why would you do an internet radio hardware as opposed to, like, using a computer?
Well, this is a situation. It's actually for a friend of mine. She has her house wired with speakers, and she wants a dedicated device to plug into those speakers. Right now, she's got an old iPod plugged in,
but she wants to be able to stream Pandora.
Okay.
And so I suggested, well, why don't you use an iPhone? But she says, well, I don't want something that I have to plug in, use it, and then unplug it when I want to use it as a phone. I want a dedicated device.
Well, does she have Comcast?
No. No.
Okay. Go ahead.
Does she have dedicated internet where she is? Is it Wi-Fi,
yes,
or would it be able to be plugged into a wired connection, or does it need to be a Wi-Fi device?
Probably Wi-Fi.
I couldn't tell you if there's any good ones. I had one of the first internet radios, and it was okay, but it was kind of crude. And a dedicated device like that, they don't tend to have a very good display, or you have to control them from a computer.
There's Sonos. There are a few things out there, but the golden age ended before they've really gone off the ground. There's if you're technically inclined, you can do stuff really neatly with like a Raspberry Pi for $40 and a display, but you would need to...
Well, I was going to say, if he's doing this for your girlfriend, you say?
No.
Your mother?
He's still in the friend zone. Don't upgrade him like that.
She is my mother's best friend.
Your mother's
she's
best
older,
friend.
Oh, okay, so we want something simple, and, you know, she's technical enough or has...
Well, she has the house, the house completely wired.
Yeah.
Now, here is... Okay, I'm trying to remember.
Does she have a Mac?
No, she has PC.
Okay, well, that's too bad. There's now the Apple TV might be an option.
See, that's why, because you can use Apple TVs and Airport Expresses and control them all from a single Mac.
Well, you could also have the Apple TV connected to a TV and just control it with a remote.
Right.
And I don't remember if it has the Pandora
app. It does have Pandora.
It has internet radio. It has internet radio, so it's got a bunch of all the stations you can see in iTunes. You can stream through the Apple TV.
She would need a display, though. So is she okay with that? Like having a display next to the speaker, so she can navigate and
She just have to have it hooked up to her TV, and then she has to have the sound from the TV go into her amplifier that powers the speakers in the house. Or now what? There's another device out there, and what's it called? It's a sound box that goes on your TV, but it also allows you to...
Sound bar?
It's a sound bar, but there's a word for it, and it allows you to connect satellite speakers, and you can actually control it to, like, play Pandora in one room and your iTunes library in another, but that's probably too complicated for what she
wants.
There's
also... There was a product, and I was Googling around for it, and it looks like there are still some people selling it, that Logitech made called the Logitech Squeeze Box.
I actually have the Squeeze Box, and that's why I suggested that she get, but apparently they're not making those anymore.
A lot of them have fallen out of the market, like even Chumby's gone by the wayside.
Right. So. Well, they're not making them, but you can still find them around online. You might check on eBay, and I saw some on Amazon.
But you might consider just, setting up like a, even an inexpensive, if you're just talking about streaming Pandora into the stereo system, you might want to just look for a cheap, older laptop that you can hook up to it, or even a small computer, small form factor computer that you can stream the Pandora onto. But the last one I saw in terms of a true just internet, it's an internet radio. I mean, it really is. It's not. It doesn't run Pandora or anything. It was like by a company called Hoppage,
Hoppage. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, we got to get out of here and take a. And get a station thing out of the way. You're listening to Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Dwight.
And we're all
that's it.
Our way.
Join KPFT at Discovery Green Thursdays for great summer concerts co-sponsored by your community radio station. This Thursday, the Sufferers play rocksteady, ska, and soul with an engaging stage show. Chase Hamblin brings his band The Roustabouts to the Hill for a set of pure power pop. That's Thursday, June 20th, starting at 6:30 p.m. at Discovery Green, downtown, near the Georgia Brown Convention Center. Visit kpft.org for more. This is KPFT, Houston.
Want to help KPFT but can't make the drive out to the little house on Lovett Boulevard? A great way to aid KPFT is as simple as logging into Facebook and Twitter. Connect with KPFT via social media, It's simple. Just visit twitter.com/KPFT and facebook.com/KPFT Houston. Then share our links and donate form with your social circles on Twitter and Facebook. Chances are you know people who may not know KPFT, and you'll introduce them to the fantastic music, interviews, news, and more that you hear daily on this radio station. Remember, just visit twitter.com/KPFT or facebook.com/KPFT Houston to promote and support KPFT online. This is Pacifica Radio, 90.1 KPFT Houston.
And we're back. More Technology Bites for another hour. Hooray! And we got Barrett in the studio. We're very happy.
We had Barrett. He has.
He left. Now he's back. He had to do stuff.
I ran straight here without, you know, taking any time for my own.
Well, we appreciate the great sacrifice that you made on our behalf.
So somebody called in to recommend FIP Radio.
FIP?
Which I guess is out of Paris. They play, I guess, classical to jazz.
Okay, yeah, fipradio.fr.
Yep. Oh, for his...
So it's a radio station to listen to, but it's still not a device from which to stream.
Right. I'm just...
Well, you know, I picked up my MacBook Air, I picked up the Apple TV because Dwight had gone on and on about it. And I can see totally turning my TV into the... Now I need to get sound. I need to wire the house for sound, but I need to have it all come through the TV.
I do that. I mean, I've had that for... that's the main reason I bought an Apple TV a number of years ago, was because I have a fairly nice stereo, so it does optical audio, so I plug my Apple TV into my home stereo, and I use it to stream music.
Right.
So it plays off my computer in my computer room, and it plays on my Apple TV. And I also have another line, and I used to be an Airport Express, but I switched it to a hard line that goes out to the porch. So I basically have the same music playing in all those three rooms, playing off of my computer. But because it's through the Apple TV, I can actually pause it with my Apple TV or from my iPhone. Like anywhere in the house, I can get on my iPhone and use the Apple remote to pause it or change songs or whatever from my iPhone.
Yeah, what I like about the Apple TV is that I can, you know, it has a lot of content built in. So if the TV was driving, the sound from the TV was going to a nice amplifier and then powering my sound system in the house, at least I could, you know, control it all in one spot. But apparently there's another device. I wish I could remember the name of it. So I was going on and on and on about it, but it's a sound bar, and it connects up to your iPhone wirelessly. And you can send your music to it, or it has built-in apps. But it also allows you to set up satellite speakers, and you can tell it to, like, play your Pandora in one room, play your iTunes library in another room. It's very configurable sound system. And I cannot
remember. I don't know what that one is.
I don't know what it is either, and it was just killing me that I can't. Because I actually looked at it as something that I thought I might actually buy. But I can't remember what it's called. It's not called a sound bar. All right, so I'll figure it out later. But there are a lot of options to do that kind of thing. But I'm trying to think in terms of for your friends, your mother's friend. Is that what it was?
Mom's best friend.
Yeah. Mom's best friend.
Maybe little undertones of The Graduate or something.
You know, really, what you need is just, some earbuds and an iPhone, and you can have all the Pandora you can eat. All right, let's see who's up next. I'll continue to research this other
issue. Did you see the comment thing that I...
Let's see. You wanted to know how to write a command file for a dot matrix printer? Really? But you didn't want to be on the air?
He was, but then he said he was getting out of the area, and so he wasn't going to be able to hear
Caller
it anymore.
He said
he hadn't called in like 10 years, but he wanted to know. He wanted to know
how to write a command line for a dot matrix printer.
They haven't made dot matrix printers in 15 years, probably. Is he still on DOS? Did he get his operating system?
He didn't say. He just wanted to see, I think, if y'all knew how to do it.
I don't, but... That's not surprising. I don't think I ever knew how to do that. I mean, I remember how to, like, I guess you could output a text file to, you know, a command line to do it, output a text file to the print spooler on it, but wouldn't necessarily care if it was dot matrix or otherwise, if it was on an LPT port. I think he is being funny.
I think so.
Okay. All right, Barrett.
Uh-oh.
Who's up next?
I was doing the length of hold stuff. I can't be Groovehouse, but pretend I was and I had an Irish accent. It was really funny, and I said it's Ed in a funny way.
Hi, Ed. You're on the air with Technology Bytes.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Hey, I've got a couple of kind of embarrassingly easy Mac 101 questions, but I figured I wanted to hear it from you guys. The first is I've got a new MacBook, and I want to transfer my iTunes music files to that second MacBook, and it's actually for my wife's music. And she doesn't really do iCloud, so, and I know, Jay, you don't like jump drives, but is one way to do it just to copy the iTunes media folder from MacBook old onto a jump drive and then put that in MacBook new and copy it into the new MacBook's music folder?
Yeah, you could do it with, and you could do it with a jump drive or an external hard drive or whatever. I don't like jump drives for long-term storage, but for a quick transfer, if that's what you have, that's fine.
Yeah, yeah, okay. So it's just dealing from one iTunes media folder to the new one, huh?
So, Dwight, you've had more experience dealing with media libraries. How do you manage yours? Like, if you wanted to move it, do you keep one on your laptop?
I don't keep it on my laptop. I keep it on my iMac. I also keep a backup of it on the server that's on my network. I've got kind of a NAS-like server.
But you can basically just take all of your MP3 files and stick it on a computer with iTunes and have it read that whole library.
Yes, yes. If I wanted to, I could delete. In fact, for a long time, I was running my iTunes library off of that NAS, but it was too slow.
Right.
And it took a little while for songs to start playing, and I just decided I wanted to have it on the drive.
So you could take all of your music library out of that same folder and put it into the equivalent folder on the new computer, and then you could tell iTunes to
re-import everything.
Re-import all of that back into iTunes. So it, you know, goes out and gets all your artist information and gets your album cover artwork and so forth.
Okay.
But I might have missed part of it. But he didn't want to transfer the entire computer.
Just the songs at this point. And that kind of leads to my second question. We're going to be giving the old MacBook to someone. What is the best way to just totally wipe it? Like, you know, on an iPhone, you do a restore, I think. But is there a...
Funny you should ask that question, because I just did that. And
yeah.
What I did, and it depends on whether or not is it a Mac or a MacBook Pro or what is it?
It's a MacBook Pro.
And does it have a DVD drive?
Yes.
All right. Did it come with the original? Does it come with the operating system on a disc?
Gosh, we bought it from Amazon.
So if it didn't come with a disc, did you upgrade it to Mountain Lion or Lion?
No, it's still got the original, you know, whatever was back 2 years ago. It's 2 years old.
Lion, maybe?
Mine's about that. It probably, if he goes into disk utility, he could do a wipe.
But you won't have
a bootable. Can he make a bootable DVD from inside of OS X?
What I did, because I had upgraded to a couple of times, I went to the App Store and re-downloaded my Lion install or my Mountain Lion install, and then I was able to... there's a tutorial online that tells you how to make a boot. You need an 8-gig flash drive, since you like flash drives. You make a bootable flash drive, and then you boot the computer from that, and then you use the disk utility, as Flicked reminded me, to erase the drive, and then you install the operating system back on it, it's good as new. And all your data, your personal data is gone.
That's like completely from scratch. The other thing you can do is, if you don't know how to do that or you don't want to do that, is... And this might or might not get rid of 100% of the data, but if you create a new user account and make it an admin account, and then go back and delete all your other accounts, then that gets rid of all the data and all those home directories.
That's true, because what you do is you create a new user, you make sure it's an admin, And then you log into that account, and then you go to your user manager, and you can tell it to delete the user, and it'll bring up an option to securely wipe their data, and it'll do an extra pass.
Tell it not to make backups of the home directories, not to keep a copy of the home directories, because there are some options to do that.
Uh-huh.
And that way it'll get rid of all that data, and the only person that will be left is the new user that you just created.
And it also has the benefit of leaving all the applications
installed.
Leave
all the applications that you had installed.
Oh, great, great. Okay, well, thank you very much.
All right, well, thanks for your call.
Bye.
All right, Sonos is the system that I was looking for.
Yeah, that's neat. That's where you can actually wear, like, the controller, and the music will follow you from room to room.
Right.
Wherever you happen to go.
Yeah, it looks really...
Sonos has been around for... Quite a long time,
And yeah, but they have a series, like they have the one sound part, but then you can have all these other speakers set up in other rooms, and they all talk wirelessly over the system, and apparently the quality is pretty good.
I want to say Sonos is probably one of if not the most recognized internet streaming independent device, like,
right.
And as far as like wiring up multiple rooms in the same house,
but you can control it from a laptop, you can control it from an iPad, from an iPhone, from an Android phone, from a Windows tablet, whatever. You can log into your Sonos system and you can configure it to tell it what you want to have happen where. And then I think it has a built-in Pandora app. It has the thing that connects to your iTunes.
I think they've been
library.
Working in that space as long as or longer than anybody else. That's a well-known name. They're probably
it's kind of the, name
the better.
They didn't die out. They still.
One of my coworkers invested heavily into it for his house, and he swears by it. He says it's just the greatest thing for having your really configurable media, you know, full house media system. Because you know, like what the caller was describing was that his mother's friend had wired the whole house with speakers. So it sounds like all that would have to be tied into one audio source, so the Sonos may not be a good fit for that unless it, but...
The old Sonos gear used to have a lot of stations with, you know, like the normal jacks where you can run other speakers out of. They've since the last, like, 4 or 5 years moved over to where it's more wireless technology, and it's more the speakers are integrated with the rest of the system. So it sounded like she had speakers that she wanted to feed.
Right.
Whereas if she found old Sonos gear, it would do that, but the new stuff is neat in that it's all in one.
It's like a plug-and-play.
Yeah,
right, so you don't have to wire the house either. But it's not. It doesn't look like it's horribly cheap. I mean, if you really go to town with this and set your whole house up. But my coworker, he told me. I mean, he has speakers out by the pool, so he has certain kind of stuff going on out there, and it looks very cool, very interesting.
You can kind of do that, but not exactly. Yeah, I was trying to say you can kind of do that with Airport Expresses and stuff, but. In order to get different things playing in different sets of speakers, you'd have to be commanding them from different iTunes instances. Like, you can select multiple speakers to play from the same iTunes instance.
Yeah.
So if you had, like, 5 different Airport Expresses, you could choose which ones you wanted
to play
what you're planning to play through. But then if you wanted something else playing in a different one, you would need a different iTunes running to send...
To that other device.
But it'll sync up all the Airport Expresses to where there's no, you know, they're not out of step. They all play at the same time, all the music synced.
As far as I know.
That's pretty cool.
You do the same thing with the Apple TV. Like I used to have an Apple TV and I had 2 Airport Expresses. And I could stream to all of them at the same time. And then I could use my iPhone as a remote, not sitting at my computer to, like, pause, play, change songs.
Oh, no. My MacBook Air, I'm 43% battery left. That means I only got about 4 hours of battery life left.
Have you had it long enough to run it all the way through a cycle?
No, I haven't run it all the way down to see what would happen. But I've been running virtual machines on this thing. And
One of the nice things about having a virtual machine is that there's no, I mean, on the SSD, because it's all SSD, is that there's no drive to whir, and so that also helps it take up less battery.
Well, I'm going to be curious, too, to see what Mavericks does, because it puts all that stuff in the background and takes the load off the CPU once it goes off screen at all. So, if you want to, see if I can pull this up. Let's go ahead and take another call here. 713-526-5738 if you want to be on the air with Technology Bites. We're here to take your calls. We've got two calls in the queue, but all the rest of the lines are open. So give us a ring, 713-526-5738. Barrett, who do we have up?
By length of hold, that's going to be Scott.
Scott, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Great. Good to talk to you folks again. The question I have is I'm looking at getting a smartphone. I haven't had one. I'm going to get one. And what I discovered is they're a lot like computers, so that's why I bring the question to you. And the other thing, they're a lot more confusing than computers. And the first level of question would be, do you know an internet site that's a reliable comparative review site, not the site that's selling all these things, a site that lists the types, and all the features you might want, and you can, you know, so that would be the first level. Do you gentlemen know of a good site that does comparative reviews on smartphones?
Well, a bunch of them do.
Give me one or two, because the web is full of evil these days. Every time I click on a review, I get a site that wants to sell me something.
Well, right. They are advertising sponsored, so you will see ads for the phones there, but. A site like The Verge is very good.
It's The Verge?
The Verge, right. It may just be verge.com, but it's called The Verge is excellent. Okay. There's a guy here in Houston who writes for ZDNet. His name is James Kendrick. You could Google his name.
James. J-A-M-E-S, last name Kendrick, K-E-N-D-R-I-C-K.
K-E-N.
Kendrick, K-E-N-D-R-I-C-K.
Okay.
And he's excellent. In fact, if you're on Twitter, he's on Twitter.
Are you online in any capacity in terms of social media? Do you have a Twitter account? Are you on Facebook?
No. Okay. I've made an effort to stay off internet except as a user.
So those two are good. There's also a site called Gadget, GDGT. And it is reviews and comparisons posted by users themselves and then curated, and it's an excellent site.
Well, let me
one more. Okay. One more. And there's another one that's really good that basically only reviews and writes about what it considers to be the best. It doesn't try to cover all of them. And this is one of my favorite sites if you're actually kind of saying, okay, just tell me what I should get. It's called The Wire Cutter. You just Google for Wire Cutter, just like it sounds.
Well, let me just interject something because, you know, a lot of these websites, a lot of the review sites and stuff assume a certain level of knowledge about what a smartphone is and what it does and you know, almost as if they're written by people that think you had one already and you're looking to find your direction. As a person who has never had a smartphone,
I don't even know if I want a hard keyboard or a soft keyboard. I want a soft keyboard. My hands are pretty large.
Well, you're going to be wading into water that's already running pretty fast and running pretty deep. So,
yes, thank you.
What I would consider doing, I think, might be beneficial to you is to pick up one of the smartphones, one of the entry-level smartphones, hopefully like from someplace not on contract. What I've seen a lot of people end up doing is they unfortunately buy in too cheap on a smartphone, and they get one that's very hard to use. Other smartphone
very
users.
Slow.
Well, even like we had one that showed up at the Geek Gathering that even all of us who are experienced smartphone users couldn't really figure out. It was just not very. You've got two main operating systems that you're going to be looking at. That's going to be three: Android, iPhone, and Windows. Right. Those are your three basic operating systems.
Well, for example, just on that point, I'm trying to get some security on a cell phone, and I know on my computer the best security is something like Kaspersky when I'm on the internet.
Right.
People said, if you want to use one of these open systems, Windows, Android, you're going to need serious security. But if you go out and buy a BlackBerry, you get it. So it seems like if I want one thing for sure, like good internet security, bang, I have to go to BlackBerry.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, Android has Kaspersky if you want it. I don't necessarily use it yet, but Kaspersky has, you know, like a $6, $7 app.
There are two different approaches to smartphones. There's kind of a closed system and an open system. Windows and Apple use a closed system where any applications that you put on the phone go through a vetting process by Microsoft and Apple. And so you generally have to worry less about viruses and spyware in terms of that.
Right.
There's always issues, potential issues for people hacking into your system from the outside, but that's extremely rare, particularly if you're connecting to cellular networks. On Android, there's a real problem with malware and spyware, including in some cases where applications that are very well known, like well-known games, bogus versions get into Google's Play Store and will be in there a little while before they are caught, and people will end up downloading some of these poisoned applications. So that's an issue with Android that's being dealt with. But if you go with a Windows phone or an Apple, an iPhone, you'll have less issue with that.
Well, one of the things, too, and it's the same thing for PCs as it is for smartphones these days, is a lot of times when people first get their device, they feel compelled to run out and install every darn thing they can find on it. And there's a lot of crud out there. I remember back in the day when PC Magazine was all the rage, and they had a CD full of free apps, and people would get that CD and they'd install every single application off of that CD just because they wanted to see it.
Why doesn't it all work?
And it, yeah, and then it wouldn't all work and it would cause problems. So if you're going to get a smartphone, I think it's going to be important for you to think about what it is you want to do with it. Why do you want a smartphone?
Well, you've given me some good sites to go to, and I do have an outline of things that I'm choosing. But it's, you were headed towards some advice about go and get a smartphone first.
Get a smartphone from a company that, you know, that's not that expensive. I don't know what your financial situation is, if you can afford to plunk down a few $100 on a very basic smartphone to see what, you know, how it's going to impact your life and how you're going to use it. Because I think going from an abstract to a more solid, experience is going to give you a better ability to make some choices about what you want. All these sites that Dwight mentioned are going to talk about, you know, a lot of the extended features of these phones. All the phones are going to do basically the same thing. They're going to make phone calls, they're going to give you access to the web, and they're going to allow you to send and receive email and text messages.
They'll also allow you to take pictures and video.
And take pictures and video. They'll all do that.
Right. And the least I'm interested in is the phone and the camera. And I'm just interested, in fact, good screen, good speed, and actually internet, because there's so much that's access to the internet.
With any phone, and when you get a smartphone, don't presume you won't be interested in something, because the uses are compelling and you will find new things to do with it all the time.
Well, fair enough.
I think you said something that was important. If what you're really concerned with is like display and speed, and you know these are less abstract, because there are phones that are definitely have bigger, brighter displays that you have your phones that are 3G as opposed to LTE, which most of the new ones now are going to start to be LTE anyway. Yeah. But so you're going to have high speed internet. So you're really looking more at how much you're going to spend, more than whether they're, you know, and you, the more you spend, the more you're going to get. So if you buy, for example, the top of the line, the hot selling Android phone right now is the Galaxy S4
and the HTC One.
Those are the two top Android choices that are out there right now, and they're both excellent phones. And I doubt that if you were to buy one, that you would all of a sudden find yourself really unhappy that you had done so. Apple makes their one phone. They have the iPhone 5. That's the Apple phone. There's a handful of Windows choices.
They're also still selling the 4S and the 4. So you can, you know, if you want to, you can go down on an iPhone to look less expensive models.
True. There's actually. Do you already have a cell phone?
Sure, I do. It's such an old generation that they don't even make batteries for them anymore.
But who's your provider?
It is Verizon.
Are you on contract with them?
Not anymore. No.
So if you were to, I believe you can get some free, if you go on a contract with Verizon, you can get a free phone or get a heavily subsidized phone. They'll be
paying. I think, and again, it was, I go into a Verizon store and I'm as much lost there as going on the internet.
You know what you want?
Can't you get like an iPhone 4? Or even, an iPhone 4 free on a 2-year contract or $99 on it.
I think maybe for like a refurbished iPhone 4, maybe for like 99 cents.
Right. For 99 cents?
I see that angle. Yeah. I get it. So suffer the 2 years and get a phone that is entry level, suitable.
An iPhone 4 is not a shabby phone.
Okay.
It's a great smartphone, and there are some probably some equivalent Androids out there in that same kind of time frame that are a couple of years old that are going to run really well, and they're going to give you the access that you need and give you a chance to feel out the smartphone.
The only problem, though, with those older phones is they will have 3G instead of 4G.
LTE.
Yeah, and so the speed on an LTE with the newer phones is just remarkable. It's like having sometimes it's faster than your home internet. What you should do is come out to one of the geek gatherings.
Oh, that's my second question. Is that just once a month or every week?
Yeah, once a month.
And I missed the one on the 7th.
It's the first Friday of every month. It'll be July 5th. There are so many people there, and there are all different kinds of smartphones there. You can you can talk to people and see what they have and see what you like, and none of them are trying to sell you anything.
Right, no ads.
Yeah, well, great. That is the thing I wanted to put on my calendar. I missed the one on the 7th because I had a date, and that beats you four guys. But the smartphone now is something I need to get, that'll be helpful. And that's not far from now. All right, well, thanks for the background. I'll still review the internet before I get there, so I'm a little smarter before I run into some of you guys.
You can always bring a date to the geek gathering.
Yeah, we'll do.
All right, thanks for your call.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Good evening.
Evening, yeah. So what is it that causes... Did it go away finally? Maybe it finally went away. Ah, there we go. I hate when my app store shows that there's an update to be installed, and it's already installed, but it still gives me the red number.
Yes,
one.
I've seen that. It goes away after a while.
It just drives me crazy.
So a question about your bad memory.
Okay.
In your previous... So did it suddenly start giving you problems, or had it always been a little flaky?
It hadn't always been flaky, but I'd noticed that I was having a few odd problems recently, but nothing that was overly dramatic. I'd had a couple of odd restarts, but nothing that was overly intrusive. I noticed that there seemed to be some slight problems, but literally when I was trying to do the time machine back up, it crashed 10 times in a row.
Hmm.
I would run the time machine, get to a certain point, boom, we have that Apple noise, and it restarted.
So where did you get the memory from?
I got it from Micro Center.
From Micro Center?
Yes.
Because I occasionally will have
or
a gray
Fry's.
Screen
on I'm sorry, I got it from Fry's.
I will occasionally have a gray screen on this. I ordered this, online from a reputable memory seller, but I occasionally have gray screens on it.
That's what that was the original problem.
Did you
that
run
I was,
a test? Did you run any testing software?
Well, like I said,
you put the old memory back.
Well, no, like I said, what I did was I realized when I said, why is it doing this during the time machine? And somebody said that they thought that was, Apple actually said that could be a sign of bad memory. And so I read somewhere there was I can't remember the name of the memory test software, but I went and downloaded some software that was supposed to test it that somebody on one of the forums recommended highly. And when I ran that test, as soon as I ran it, the system crashed and rebooted. So I had finally found the sweet spot of being able to replicate a crash on my computer. And the memory is from, I got it from Fry's. And, it wasn't terribly expensive. And it's no-name memory. Hmm. It's not like, Kingston or any of that stuff that has a lifetime warranty on it or anything like that. So I replaced that memory with the original memory and everything started working just fine. And I got two more. We have a bunch of retired equipment. I had the right kind of memory at work and I was able to put it back to eight and it worked fine.
Hmm.
And yeah. Oh, and speaking of good Apple experiences, which that wasn't one of, but my iPhone wasn't charging. My brand new iPhone, we would plug it in and it would make that sound like when you plug it in, and then
it wouldn't charge.
But no, it would show you a little charging icon, and then it would go beep, like, or you disconnected it.
Right.
And then sometimes it would just go beep, 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 like it would detect it. Mm-hmm. So they noticed the cable was kind of loose. So I went to the Apple store. I said, okay. Thinking, okay, I've got a defective phone because I could wiggle the cable. Mm-hmm. I could watch the charge light go on and off. And I went to the Apple store, and they said, well, do you have an appointment? And I said, oh, crap. No, I don't have an appointment. I said, okay, well, it's going to be about 10 or 15 minutes. And I said, okay, no problem. They signed me up to mm-hmm. talk to a genius. And so 10 minutes later, this guy comes up and says, you know, ask me about it. And I give him my phone. And he says, okay, I'll be right back. So he walks away. 5 minutes later, 10 minutes later, he comes back and he gives me my phone back. He says, okay, here's, and I had lint built up in the charge hole. Mm. And they cleaned it out. And I didn't see it. I couldn't see it. It was just like embedded. It was uh-huh. it impacted, wax impaction right. in my charge hole. And they cleaned it out and they gave me my phone
impaction
back.
Impaction in the charge hole.
Yeah. But I was
keep your charge hole clean, Jay.
Got to keep the charge hole free.
Let me inspect my charge hole here. You're such a charge hole.
Did you ask him to check your belly?
Well, the thing is that, you know, what I realized is when he gave
charge
me my phone,
clean.
When he sent my, gave me my iPhone and sent me on my way, they didn't charge me anything.
Which is a 5?
5, yeah.
Because I'm going to say the charge hole on a 5 is a lot smaller than the charge hole on a 4S.
It's not such a big charge
hole. Was a charge hole on your 4S small to start with, or did it just get bigger over time?
I was going to say, I mean, it's not like goatsy or anything.
No. It's, you know, one thing I did notice is that...
but it's the, you know, the 4S and the 4 and everything, it's the old 30-pin...
Right, right.
Right, and that's the new Lightning.
The Lightning, but I just took a little piece of pocket lint in there that was apparently the color of whatever. I never inspected my charge hole.
It was probably a piece of chewed jerky that you spit.
No. No. But they scooped the lint out of my charge hole and sent me on my way. So it was a good Apple experience. I was kind of thinking that I will.
I've heard stuff like that about Apple people.
Well, I was just thinking if I went to Best Buy and I said, "Here's my computer, my electronic device, and I need you to take a look at it." It's like it's $50 right off the bat.
I have a Lightning cable. I think it's gone bad.
Maybe it hasn't.
No, well, but everything else, others charge in, others plug in just fine.
I think most places you show up and say, "Could you look at my charge hole?" Someone's going to get slapped.
Not at the Apple store. They have charge hole geniuses. But no, it was a good Apple experience because I had to, you know, I debated whether I should go to the Verizon store or go to the Apple store, and I'll say go to the Apple store.
We've got somebody who's been holding for.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. Yeah, they have been holding a long time. Let's go to line one. Hi, Jim. Sorry about that. I hope your phone has not died on you.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for being so patient.
Well, I'm shining a light up my iPod 4 charge hole right now.
Yeah?
And it looks pretty good.
Okay, good.
Thanks for the hint. You know, I have photography as a hobby, and I take my photographs in RAW, which I understand you're a photographer.
Yeah.
You can understand. I use... CS5 and Lightroom to process my photos, and I gave up my old desktop. It was a Vista, like 7 or 8 year old machine. And I'm just currently carrying a Dell Ultrabook, and I want to step up to a good desktop machine with a good screen with lots of resolution, so I can really see if I'm doing the job on sharpness, etc. And so I'm looking for a recommendation on a good desktop with that perspective.
Well, the desktop itself's not going to make any difference. It's going to be, you could buy any desktop, but it's going to be the monitor that you choose.
Well, yeah, and I, you know, when I, Dell makes a very high resolution monitor, but you need the right video card to drive it. And when I go in to talk to people about it, it's not a good discussion. So I was looking at whether or not some of the Apple desktops, they seem to have monitors with very good resolution in them.
I will tell you, I just bought the 27-inch iMac.
Yeah.
And it is stellar for photo editing.
Okay.
It's just, do you use Lightroom?
Yeah.
I don't know about your experience with whatever computer you have right now, but my previous computer was a little slow. And so the rendering raw files, like I would bring them up in Lightroom and I'd zoom in and they'd look blurry. And then, you know, maybe a minute later it would finally snap that thing into focus so I could tell if I got a shot in focus or not.
Sure.
On the new computer, on this new iMac, I zoom in on a raw file. I got 25 meg raw files and I zoom in on that and it just, it resolves and renders so fast. And then I output that raw and to render it to JPEG and it goes by quick.
Okay.
It just looks good.
That's the one that is like all in one.
It's all in one. Yeah.
Okay.
Or you can buy, if you don't want to do the all-in-one, and there are reasons why you may not want to buy the all-in-one, so you might want to consider getting a Mac Mini and getting the 27-inch Apple display. The Thunderbolt display is stunning to look at.
And there's no problem driving that, then, as far as getting that resolution.
No.
The card matches. Okay.
No, it's matched up to the hardware, so the hardware's designed to run it. So if Apple sells you a Mac Mini and tells you that it will work with that monitor, it will work with that monitor. And it does. One of the things I like about that is it all tends to work together. I mean, all the current, even my MacBook Air could drive that Thunderbolt display. It's got good enough graphics in it. But most modern computers are going to have, even Windows or Intel-based Windows PCs are going to have reasonable graphics cards. You just need to look and see which ones have, like, you know, I guess 500. What's standard memory on a Windows-based graphic card these days? About half a gig?
About a gig now.
About a gig?
About a gig is a minimum. Yeah. I mean, you can get, I've seen them up to 4 gig memory now.
So if you get one that's got got a gig or more of memory on the card, you'll know it'll drive the higher resolution monitors. How old is your computer now?
Well, my Ultrabook's just 6 months old.
But the Ultrabook has no real ability for driving an external display, does it?
No, I brought it along and hooked it up to the Dell monitor, which is like $800, the high resolution one, and it won't do anything. It just comes out 1080. It does not drive it for the high resolution.
No, nor would I expect it to, but a mid-range Dell desktop would.
Okay. Well, I think I'm going to go with the Apple. I use my Ultrabook for earning a living because it's got PC stuff on it and PC programs, and it's got Windows 8 on it, and I am ready to move to Mac after that Windows 8 experience.
Well, you know, I'm running on my MacBook Pro. I'm running Parallel, so I have Windows 8, Windows 7 available to me if I need them. But you could load full Windows onto the computer if you were interested. But since you're already going through the learning curve with Windows 8, then maybe apply that to a different operating system like the Apple OS. And okay. I've been real happy with it. Like this is my second iMac, and both of them have been great for, I mean, the monitor, it's built in, so it definitely works with everything. Everything looks really good on the screen, and it's a joy to edit. The new one especially is just a joy to edit photos on. I haven't had a really good photo project to take it to task since I got it, so I'm looking forward to hopefully getting one of these weekends out, shooting a bunch of pictures and processing them.
Do you print your own pictures?
No, I do not.
Okay.
That's something I've been interested in, but all right, now it's just more economical for me to outsource that to a professional printer.
Yeah, the other thing that I don't completely understand is there's been some discussion, like in my photography club, about you got to get a monitor that you can color calibrate correctly to go to the printer, and some of even the more expensive monitors won't do that correctly.
Well, you can color calibrate the iMac. You can color calibrate it, but the thing you need to be able to calibrate for printing, you need to use a third-party device like a Color Monkey or something like that. I don't even know how those exactly work.
I've got one, and they don't work straightforwardly.
No. Well,
they were designed by the people who did Windows 8, I think.
I use a photo, and they have a that you can do where you send a photo to them, and they print it out the way you send it to them, and then you charge you extra if they do the color calibration. I usually let them do the color calibration and print it out.
Gotcha. Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, thanks for your call. Have a good evening.
Bye.
All right. Bye. Ha. So good. 20 minutes left in the show, 3 calls in the queue. We're doing all right. 713-526-573. You got a Barrett time?
No, I said an email.
No, I said the email. I was just teasing. I was just trying to engage you since we have you now. The three geek formation was just really painful.
Although I did put in my first notice last show saying, hey, I might have an audit, might be late. So technically I was the first one in with my excuse.
Yeah, and Flicted, who had the most valid excuse, didn't exercise his option.
What was going on with Flicted?
I don't know. I think Groovehouse was more valid.
Shorter term.
Agonizing
though.
Pain in your...
Pain in your abdomen versus the inability to produce clear mucus or what? I mean, you have sinus infection.
Breathe properly and,
breathe at all.
Have any energy or... Yeah, I'm much better today than I was... Yeah. Yesterday or the day before.
Still hear it in your voice a little bit, but
I'm still messed up, but I feel much better today than I did yesterday.
I'm glad that you're here and well. I'm glad that you dealt with your audit thing.
It's almost over.
Yeah.
And it's technically an assessment.
Did they audit your charge hole?
No, but there's one more half day. There's an afternoon session tomorrow. Hopefully they're not listening.
Hopefully not. Hopefully they don't care enough.
Yeah.
All right. Who's up next? Can you figure that out for us, Barrett?
I think I can. I think that's going to be Charles.
Charles, you're on the air with Technology Bytes.
Hey, thanks. I have a question. I want to see if it's true. I wanted to get a Galaxy 4, but I didn't want to pay that much because I'm with T-Mobile. Now you have to pay the full price up front. Galaxy...
You only have to pay the full price up front if you don't go on a contract.
No,
right?
T-Mobile has completely changed their business model.
That.
Okay.
But what they will do is you can buy it on time as a separate payment. So you don't necessarily, it's not tied to the contract. The way the other companies work is when you have a contract and you buy a phone on subsidy, you continue to pay that amount even after the phone's paid off. But the way T-Mobile does it, they've split it into two payments. You pay for your contract month to month or your service month to month, but then you pay separately for the phone, so you do not necessarily have to pay up front for it.
Yeah, you can spread out on T-Mobile, you can spread out the price for a new phone over 2 years or whatever,
right.
So it's like $20 a month or whatever, and you're still not under contract. However, if you decide to cancel it, then you do have to take care and pay them the remainder of the value of the phone.
Right, and you can still continue to pay that month to month.
Oh, yeah.
On the phone.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I got all that. I know it.
But so yeah, you don't have to pay.
But
he, outright
I think
it's
a different question.
Front.
Yeah, it's like you get it on layaway, but you get to keep it, right?
Right.
Like it's right. It's basically the same.
But
as
what
other,
the question
other
was is, so we ended up getting a Galaxy One, and the Galaxy One's been giving us a lot of trouble. A lot. Like, it turns off on its own. Sometimes phones don't go out. Phone calls don't go out. Text messages aren't received. A lot of software issues. So I'm wondering, are cell phones to be treated like a laptop? I mean, if you buy a laptop, a two-year-old model, are you going to have trouble? Is it going to be slower? Is it not going to be able to adapt with the software coming out, the apps that come out?
Well, the problem with the first Galaxy phone, the Galaxy S, is it the Galaxy S1?
It's just called the Galaxy S.
The Galaxy S, I'm sorry, the Galaxy S, the first one.
Correct.
It was I had that phone. And it had GPS didn't work properly. It had issues. That phone is not that good a phone. It was supposed to be a fantastic phone and it ended up not being a very good phone. They've improved with the newer Galaxies. But no, I wouldn't say it's true that the older phones are like older laptops necessarily.
Okay.
Although they can't be, particularly Android, can't be upgraded to a lot of the newer versions.
Right, you won't necessarily be able to get the new OS. The first Android, I mean, the first Galaxy was 3G, was not LTE. So it had, it wasn't taking advantage of the faster network.
Okay. So well, we were told that this was updated with 4G and I forget which Android system it had, but it supposedly was updated. I don't have the exact figure on the update. But either way, it still gives us a lot of trouble.
How long have you had it?
Past 14 days, a month.
So you haven't even had it a month and it's got tons of problems. You should still be in your return period, right?
They have a 14-day return period, and we did, and this is the second phone we had. We already exchanged it for the same one, and just given us the same trouble. So now we passed the 14-day mark, and we're kind of stuck with it until we keep calling, and they, I don't know, give us a credit or something like that.
Well, who is this through?
This is through T-Mobile.
Well, I would say, you know, go back to T-Mobile and say, you know, I'm still having problems. I've had, this is my second phone. I'm still having these problems. I need satisfaction here and get them to give you satisfaction. There's no reason why you should have to hang on to this phone if it's been giving you trouble since day one.
Right. No, we will. We will. I just had that question about older phones giving us trouble. But
so they sold you an older, was it a refurb, or how did they do that?
No, it wasn't a refurb. We did ask that specifically. They said, no, it's straight out the box, brand new, updated. That's what we were told.
But it's the Galaxy S.
Galaxy S.
Did it have, what was the movie with the blue people in it?
No, not the blue people. This is an Inception.
I'm sorry, you had what?
Inception.
Okay, that's the same. Was the Inception offered on the first Galaxy, or was that offered on the Galaxy 2?
I don't know. I don't know
Inception
about the Galaxy
2. It was on the Galaxy 2 because it was...
that was Avatar. That was on Galaxy 2.
Right. On the first Galaxy, it was Avatar. And then Galaxy 2, I think, came out with Inception.
Right.
Was pre-lettered on it. So you've got the second generation Galaxy, so I'm surprised you're having that many problems with it.
He may just have a bad phone.
Second bad phone in a row.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. All right. Well, that was my question, and yeah, we're going
to
call.
Yeah, I would make him satisfy that and get him to get you something else if necessary.
Sure. All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Good luck. Thanks for your call. Man, how are your 4G speeds these days, Dwight?
Very good.
What are you averaging?
Well, it depends on where you are.
Well, I know that, but like on a good day.
On a good day, maybe 30.
So I'm only like pulling down lately. I've only been pulling down 5 to 10.
How many bars do you have?
I've got 3 bars right now.
That's about right for 3 bars.
Is it?
Yep.
5 to 10?
Yep.
It just seems slower
lately. Well, and I did a blog post yesterday about PC Magazine is out with it, does its annual survey of broadband speeds in 30 cities. Houston is one of the cities that it tests. And AT&T was the fastest in Houston, followed by Verizon. But both AT&T and Verizon had slowed slightly compared to what they had in 2012, which makes sense, you know,
because of the saturation.
Right. The network is more. What was really interesting was how bad Sprint did, and maybe this is why Groovehouse is homesick. Sprint was like, you know, I think AT&T averaged like 14 down, and Verizon, you know, 12 down. AT&T had a max on their test of 55, which is kind of amazing, but Sprint's average download speed was about 2.6 megabits on LTE.
I feel a lot better about my T-Mobile now.
Yes.
My upstream, I just tested, is better than the downstream.
Is that LTE?
No, it's not LTE.
It's the HSPA Plus? Yeah. The HSPA Plus did well in
what are you getting?
Too.
This last one I got 11 down, but I got 15 down before, and I've studied 2 to 4 up.
Now, see, that's interesting,
Jake. Which is plenty fine for my phone.
Is that a Verizon phone?
Yes.
Okay, so I have an AT&T phone. And right now I'm getting, I have 4 bars. So let's see what my what my speed test is on the AT&T phone.
I got 2 bars right now.
All right, so I have 4 bars. I'm connecting to the Comcast server. We're in the studio, so we're kind of in a... Let's see what happens.
I'm going to change to the Comcast server, too.
Yeah, the Comcast server is a better one to test against. All right, so I have 50 millisecond ping, and it looks like I'm going to hit around 8 megabits.
Whoa. I'm beating you.
On 4 bars.
All right, so I did a test on the Comcast server, I assume. Oh, yuck. Just dropped. I'm not even getting a megabit down.
And, you know, there's a lot of interference, and this is a solid room, so it's not necessarily.
It's not a good test inside necessarily.
Oh, that's just because the Android's beating you guys. You guys have to say that. I'll tell you what. Turn on the Wi-Fi and let's run again.
Mine has been slow lately, though, on Verizon. I mean, not like noticeably for what I'm doing, for what I use it for. It seems to be basically fine, but whereas I was pushing 20 megabits and 22 megabits before, now I'm lucky to get 10. And I don't know why.
Have you looked at various places around town where you...
I'm trying it in a few different places, home and at the office. Like right now, I'm pulling down just under 5.
What's interesting at home is that when I first got this phone and was first testing AT&T and Verizon at my house, I was getting like spectacular speeds, like in the 40s and low 50s. And what's interesting is not only have the speeds slowed at home, but I have fewer bars at home.
I'm just worried. I just want to make sure that I didn't have some unremoved charge hole blockage.
I can blow that out for you.
You could have some residue impacted.
Yeah.
I just got 17 megs down, no Wi-Fi. Your speed goes, mine increases.
Yeah, apparently it's all going over to... all right, let's get these last calls we've got in the queue here. We got about 10 minutes left in the show, so... Who's up next?
It's going to be Nuri Nuri.
Nuri, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hey, guys. How are you this evening?
Good.
It sounds like I'm making a habit of this now.
It does.
Anyway, I'm not, but I have a very quick question for you. Last week when I called, I mentioned that I have a machine with Windows 8. I really haven't set it up or anything yet. But in the past, throughout all the times that I've either... bought a computer and repartitioned it myself, or computers that I built myself, I've always had 3 drives, the C drive for the OS and applications, a D drive for cache, and the E drive for data. And this machine that I got, which is an OEM, has 2 physical drives, a 60 gig and a 2800 gig secondary drive. And
2800 gig?
It's a 3 terabyte.
Yeah, 2.8 terabyte.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's one is 60 gigs, and the other one is the rest. And the 60 gig drive, they put put Windows 8 on it, and then they set it up so that I can put my data and applications on the D drive.
Is the 60 gig drive an SSD?
Yeah, I think so. And it's a 60 gig drive that's supposed to have Windows. And when I asked the tech support, you know, I mean, you always are installing stuff, and you need, because I wanted to repartition it to have like a 400 gig drive for Windows and the applications. And he said, no, we have physical drive that's only 60. And the reason they do it that way is so that it boots quicker.
Right.
And it
does.
Correct. Is that, and so he said you can install your applications on the D drive along with your data.
That's right.
Is that done? Is that normal, or is that going to mess things up? Because I said, I've always done it where I have data separate from apps and OS.
That's the new popular style now, is to put the actual OS on an SSD drive, because the read rates are so much faster on it that they'll put the OS on there so it boots really fast.
And because SSDs are expensive right now, once they get to the point where they can put the entire operating system on there, you'll see they go back to one. But right now, the price differential is such that people want to get the boot speed, but they don't want all their storage on there.
Right. There's no real reason to store, you know, terabytes of data on an SSD drive if you're not accessing it all the time. It's fine to store it on a traditional hard drive, but the things that you want to load up fast and run quickly, you want that on the SSD. And there's a whole other technology, the Fusion Drive, which Apple has been using, where it's a combination and of SSD and a standard hard drive. And the computer, at least from what I hear on Apple, if you have a Fusion drive, it's supposed to look at what you're accessing the most and store it on the SSD as space permitting.
Okay, so is this an I haven't opened the machine up. You think it's actually an SSD drive?
It sounds like it could be. If you've got a system with a 3 terabyte storage and a 60 gig separate partition, it's probably an actual physical drive.
It should say that on the specs.
Well, there's almost no reason that somebody would put a regular drive that's 60 gig inside something
next to a 3 terabyte.
There's no reason nowadays anybody would do that. It would almost have to be an SSD.
Yeah.
But is it okay to put the data and the apps on the same drive?
Yes. Absolutely. Yes. I mean people have been doing
data and the applications on the same drive and keep the other one for Windows. I mean, it boots fast.
Right.
It's just that I'm worried if I put the data and the apps.
Nari, here's the situation. It goes back to your previous call.
Yeah.
Backups.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, I have now an external Ethernet drive that's going to go on my network.
The way that people have traditionally, if we go back about 10 years in computing, there were two camps. There were people who had everything stored on one hard drive because that was the most affordable and that was the easiest to execute. You load your operating system, you load your apps, you store your data, it's all on one drive. Most people have done it for years. Then there was a school of people that kind of came up who said, I'm going to partition my drive. I'm going to take the one hard drive, I'm going to make it into two partitions. I'm going to have my operating system and applications stored on one, and I'm going to have the other partition used to store all of my data. I'm going to store my music, my pictures, and whatever.
Right, that's how I had mine.
And the thought behind that was that if you needed to reinstall the OS or reinstall the apps, then you didn't have to wipe out the drive that contained all of your data files. Then that was fairly logical. That made good sense in its own way because storage was expensive. But today, in my mind, the way to do it, it doesn't matter whether you have it split out on drives, unless like now with the SSDs, where you might want to have your operating system on a high speed but expensive drive and then have everything else on the other drive. As long as you've got backups, it doesn't matter how any of that's laid out, because if it goes down, you can restore it.
Right.
So okay. if you're looking at how you have your drives partitioned or split out for how you're salvaging data, I don't believe in that philosophy anymore. But in terms of how you're running applications and how fast they're running, then the whole idea of having an SSD drive and then a secondary drive makes more sense. I can't tell you what you paid money for. You'll have to look at the specs on your computer to see whether that is an SSD. 60 gigs, kind of small.
I'm almost certain that is, particularly if it's a Windows 8 machine.
Yeah. You can open it up, you can tell, or you can look at this. Is it a one that was built for you, or is it one that you bought from like Dell or HP or what?
It's a Costco type machine.
Costco.
It's not a Dell or a.
I wonder if that's like a recovery partition.
Now I'm wondering if I should have bought a Dell or a
60
HP,
gigs, so I can see 6.
I can see 6.
Costco doesn't have its own brand, so it's probably some brand name. Maybe
no, it is a brand name, but it's not a Dell or it's ZT Systems. It's made by ZT Systems.
Yeah. Look at your documentation. It might be an SSD.
It probably is.
Right.
Okay. All right, Gary. Thanks for your call.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Good night.
That music playing in the background tells me we're out of time. We're out of touch, we're out of time. Nice shirt, Flicted, by the way. I wanted to just compliment you on your DEF CON shirt.
It's coming up in a month or so.
Flicted actually has. Do you have plane tickets?
Yep. I'm all set too.
What about you, Barry? Have you got anything?
No.
Not a thing.
I will still be there.
All right.
I've got a dream.
I've got a dream and.
No tickets.
And a light at the end of the tunnel. It may or may not be a train.
I'm going to crash with Crunch. It'll be okay.
Crash and Crunch.
So it'll just be me and Groovehouse doing the show that week. Is that right?
No, I'm going to be here that week.
Okay.
And no, these two are gone. They Flicted has hitched his wagon to the Barrett Cannon.
So. Maybe we should get James Kendrick in here.
Hey, there we go. That might be good fun.
Also, by the way, coming up at the... early July is the Microsoft Partner Conference is going to be.
That's there. Right.
And so there are going to be several tech journalists in town. I might see if any.
See if they want to come by? Say,
yeah.
Sure. Is Ed Bach going to come in?
No, but Mary Jo Foley is of ZDNet.
Okay.
So maybe we can get her to come by.
All right. Well, you've been listening to Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Dwight.
And we're out of here. Bye.
The Kingwood Reggae Meets Bluegrass Festival happens Saturday and Sunday, June 22nd and 23rd in Kingwood's Town Center Park. Admission to the festival is free. Saturday features reggae bands including Drum, Indigenous, Soul Tribe, and more. Sunday features bluegrass with Buffalo Nickel, Texas Eagle Dirt Band, and more. Food, Texas wines, arts and crafts, and activities for the whole family. Find the festival on Facebook at Kingwood Reggae Meets Bluegrass Festival. A portion of the proceeds of this event will benefit the Endangered Species Media Project. You're listening to Pacifica Radio, kpft.org online, twitter.com/kpft, facebook.com/kpft, Houston.
Did you know you can find KPFT on the social networking sites Twitter and Facebook? You certainly can, and we'd love you to add us as a friend and get us connected with friends of yours. Join our fan page and check out a special video message.